Hello, neighbor. You're tuned in to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. This week, we're in the book of Hebrews as we continue our study through God's precious word. Here's Pastor Walt Lanier, taking the Bible as it is to people as they are.
So that's a key word all through the book of Hebrews, encouraging these believers, these Jewish believers, hey, it's so much better here. It's better with Christ. Don't go back. Now we get to verse number 7. For if that first covenant had been faultless, speaking of that Mosaic law, then there should no place have been sought for the second, speaking of the second covenant. For finding fault with them, he saith, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, speaking of Moses in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his brother, every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for all shall know me, the least from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities, and I will remember no more. In that he saith, A new covenant, he hath made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away. Now take a breath. That's a lot to kind of digest. But in verse number 7, it says that, For if that the first covenant had been faultless, there should be no place had been sought for the second. Now, the fact that God mentions another covenant proves that there was something lacking with the old covenant. The word faultless means free from defect. Now, there were no faults or errors in the Mosaic covenant. I want you to understand that. A perfect God could not make an imperfect covenant. Let me repeat that. A perfect God would not make an imperfect covenant. The fault was not on God's side, but it was on man's side with this covenant. As a matter of fact, the law, this covenant, was holy. In Romans chapter number 7, verse number 12, the Word of God tells us, Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. There was nothing wrong with the law. It was perfect. It was holy. The problem was man, they could not keep that. We also see that the law was not given to save. The law could not save in Romans chapter number 5. This is what he's talking, the law was faultless or had fault. This is what he's talking about, okay? That it could not save. Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Remember a couple weeks ago I shared with you the difference between law and grace. The law, what the law did for man and what grace did for man. And that's what this verse is kind of speaking to. The law was holy, but the law was not given to save. We find again in the book of Galatians, chapter number 2, verse number 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. The law could not save. Matter of fact, what the law was, purpose of the law, the Bible tells us, was a schoolmaster to point people to Christ. Again, we see it in Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 23. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Verse number 24, Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we may be justified by faith, not by the law. We just read that the law could not justify any. But what the law did, I love this illustration. The law was like a mirror, if you will, that when you went to the bathroom this morning before you come to church, I hope you looked in the mirror and kind of brushed your teeth and combed your hair, for those of you who have hair, you know. Anyway, you saw all the flaws in the mirror. You know, for you ladies who put on makeup, you'd see these flaws that you would have. Not that any of you had flaws, but that's the purpose of a mirror. It reflects what you see. It reflects when things are out of place. And there you try to straighten. However, the mirror cannot straighten you out. It just sees what's wrong with you. What straightens you out is a silly illustration. That wash, that sink, there you got the sleep in your eyes and all, and looking at that mirror and you got that sleep in. Do y'all have that or just me? You see, that mirror ain't taking that sleep out of your eye. You got to use that wash basin to take it. And that's kind of the picture of law and grace. The law showed you what was wrong, but the law could not clean you. And that's what he's talking about here. The law was a schoolmaster. Back in Hebrews chapter number 8, we see that in verse number 7. That's why he said, if the first covenant had been faultless, there should have no place to salt for the second. In other words, the problem was people couldn't obey the law. Again, there's nothing wrong with the law. It was perfect. It was holy. It was just. It was a schoolmaster to point people to Christ, to show how sinful we are. And by the way, let me add this and we got to move on. The law was not given to Gentiles. The law was given to the Jewish people. That's a whole other can of worms and all. But anyway, he's talking to the Jewish people, to the Hebrew people. And that's why he's talking about this law. Verse number 8. For finding fault with them, he saith. Now, from verse number 8 to verse number 12, is a direct quote from Jeremiah chapter number 31, verses 31 through 34. Same quote that you find in Jeremiah 31. It says this, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." And before I go any further, I want you to understand. First of all, he says, before the days come, before they come. He's going to do something future. And I got two pages of notes, and this is where I want you to notice. When he talks about the old covenant and the new covenant, a huge difference, huge difference. Turn me to Exodus chapter number 19. Exodus chapter number 9. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. It's the second book. This is the giving of the law on Mount Sinai in chapter number 19. I want you to notice. Verse number 5. This is the giving of the law. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice and keep my covenant, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure unto me and above all people, for all the earth is mine. I want you to notice the key words here. If you will. That covenant was based on if you will. The old covenant. The new covenant, we're going to see from verses 8 to 12, God says, I will. That's the difference. The old covenant said, if you will. The new covenant says, I will. Matter of fact, he talks about, I think he says six times from back in verses 8 through 12, God says, I will. I will. I will. It's based upon him, not upon man. The old covenant was based, if you do this, I'll do this. Are y'all following? Important part is, as we start getting this a little deeper, the difference between the old and the new covenant, between law and grace. If you do this, the new one, I will. It's no longer based on us. It's based upon him. It's very interesting. And notice in the verse number 8, a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. He's speaking to the Hebrew people, particularly here. Remember, he's speaking to the Hebrews. But I have a note here. This also will apply to the Gentile nations. John chapter 10, verse number 16.
You've been listening to the Westwood Gospel Time with Pastor Walt Lanier of the Westwood Missionary Baptist Church in Winter Haven, Florida. Tune in next time as we continue our study through God's precious word. Well, from now until tomorrow, may God bless you richly, is our prayer.